So anyway, if you want to turn in your Bibles, or it'll come up on the screen, and when we're ready, don't put it on the screen yet, guys, 1 Samuel chapter 10. And I told you a while ago that I've been studying for the last 8 months the gospel, not the gospel, book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And I felt there was a mandate, there was an assignment from the Holy Spirit to study it, and I felt it was to study David's life. If anyone knows me, I'm a big fan of David, and I love his, just get that off for a minute with him, and don't give him a preview. Trying to build up the suspense. But I'll just give you some background before we get into the scripture. But anyway, I've studied, and I've been studying, and I'm only on chapter 17, but I've been studying from chapter 1, names of places, names of peoples. If there's a hill with a name, I want to know what that means in its original language, and how it breaks out, and what's the different root words to it, and all this stuff. And I've been looking for patterns that we can live our lives, or God shows us an aspect of his character by these patterns within the scriptures. And it's probably not new. Other people have probably preached this, but it's new to me. And I'm going to speak about King Saul. And before we get to where we're going, I want to title this, which, you know, I don't really do titles. Adam usually makes them up at the end of the service for the title of a sermon. And I'm not one of these preachers that spends 20 hours trying to get a title and 2 hours trying to study the word. I'd rather study the word and let someone else come up with the title. But what happens if you've a call of God on your life, but you have baggage in your life? What do you do with the call, and what do you do with the baggage? Because this is one thing I've known after living on this planet for 51 years. We all have baggage, amen? And there's no one gets through without baggage. There's nobody lives a life and to get to God and go, wow, I never had any baggage. Even saying that yourself means you have baggage. You have the baggage of the Nile. Are you with me? So it's like there's no... So if you're like, wow, all those poor people have baggage, but I haven't. You see me later, man. And it's like... We all have it. So you can't live in this planet. King David said he was conceived in sin. Sin brings the baggage. So we all have it. And there was a man in the Bible called Saul. Now Saul was, you find him in 1 Samuel. Saul was the first king of Israel. And Saul was this man that God called out. He was sent to find his donkeys. If anyone remembers, he was a donkey herder. His dad was. Pretty wealthy business people sent him out because donkeys got lost, and he went to find the donkeys, and he couldn't find them anywhere. And he ended up going to a city where there was a man called Samuel, who was a prophet, or the old word is he was a seer. I mean, he could see into the spirit. He could see things of God that ordinary or people that weren't seers couldn't see. You with me? So anyway, they ended up going there, and while he was going there to ask him where the donkeys were, God spoke to Samuel, the prophet, and says, there's a man of Benjamin coming to see you tomorrow. He's going to ask you where the donkeys are, but I want you to anoint him as the first king of Israel. Isn't that powerful that he's gone to, I'm looking for me donkeys, I'm looking for me donkeys. And he walks in, he sees the man of God called Samuel. And Samuel says, you're not just a donkey herder. There's a king in you. There's a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. There's a call on your life to fulfill something that God has ordained even before the foundations of the earth for you. Wow, isn't that amazing? Like, imagine meeting the prophet. And he's saying, look, donkey herding's all right, don't get me wrong, but you're the king. You're meant to be somewhere else. But here's the reality that I can marvel at that. But the Bible says this, that God has a plan and a purpose and a call for you and me. That he has a purpose and a plan. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before you were born, I formed you in your mother's womb. Before what? Before, listen to what it says in the New Testament. Before the foundations of the earth was laid, you were in God's heart. That's a long time ago. Before there was a moon and stars and fish in the sea and flowers that bloom. That before that was, you were in God's heart. You are not a mistake. You are not something that just happened. That if mommy and daddy didn't plan you even, in their words, God planned you. And he not only planned you, but he tagged onto your life a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your life. Before anything that was, you was. There's something very old about you and me, whether you like it or not. There's something very ancient that's in me that is of God. So we marvel at Saul, but I marvel at you and me. I marvel that God would use you and me to do something, to bring an expression of his love and character to a world that needs him. So Saul is picked. Saul, this is what Samuel said to Saul. Because you imagine a fellow saying to you, imagine you meet me and I go, you're going to be the next Taoiseach of Ireland.
Yeah, right now.
What if I said, well, you leave this place and you're going to get on a bus. And a man on the bus is going to say, you know what, you're the next Taoiseach of Ireland. You might begin to believe me. What's that? Or maybe you think he's my brother and I rang him. What if you went into town and you walked into the Jarvis Street Shopping Centre and an orchestra struck up and they start singing songs and it was all about you being the king? You'd be looking around for the cameras, wouldn't you? Like, this is a TV joke. Saul was no different. What do you mean I'm going to be the king? And Samuel says, when you leave, you're going to go down by the Marah tree. A tree. And when you're at that tree, you're going to meet people and they're going to give you bread and wine. Imagine this bread and wine being talked about in the Old Testament. They're going to give you bread and wine. And then when you leave them, you're going to see a band of prophets coming over the hill with their guitars and their flutes and all that type of thing. And they're going to be singing a song. And you've never heard this song. You've never heard what prophecy is. But you're going to start doing and singing what they're singing. And it all happens. So it's confirmed in you. So we're going to pick it up when Samuel is bringing Saul out in front of all of the people to say, this is God's anointed one. This is the one God has set apart. This is him. The one with the call that's going to lead us into a new era of having a king. It says that Saul was an impressive man. It says that he was like head and shoulders above everyone else. Never once struggled with dandruff. We're going to pick it up here. Chapter 10, verse 24. It should come up. Then Samuel the prophet brought all the tribes of Israel near. And the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and clans of Merites were taken by lot. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, when they went to look for him, he was not found. So they inquired again of the Lord and said, is there a man still to come? Talking about Saul. And the Lord says, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Then they ran and took him from there, and when he stood among the peoples, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people. And the people shouted, long live the king. Saul had a call, but when they went to look for him to be presented before everybody, he was hiding in the baggage. Can you believe that a book like the Bible that was written, like, you know, over a period of 2,000 years by 40 different people, that they would write about baggage all the way back then. When they went to look for him, Saul was hiding in his baggage. And the reality is that if we don't deal with our baggage, it will rob us from fulfilling the call. Because the baggage will hide our gifts. It will hide some of our personality that God wants to bring out. It will maim us. It will harm us. It will harm other people if we don't deal with the baggage. And sometimes, if we're honest, I'm going to be honest, that I take refuge in my baggage. I run to it and feel sorry for myself and feel like nobody loves me. And that baggage can look like big, what do you call them things, trunks. And some of it can look lovely like a Gucci bag. Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. I bring that bag out when I want to feel sorry for myself. It's not big and clunky like the trunk. See that baggage? My mammy gave me that. Them words that she spoke, it's my baggage. And if I don't lay it down somehow, it's going to cause me not to fulfill the plan of God for my life. And I get lost in the baggage. And I get lost in the mess of how the baggage came to pass. Now, don't get me wrong. Saul had a call, but he had baggage. But Saul also had victories. You read it yourself. He went out and he done God's work. He went out and he beat the enemy of the people that he was the king of. In fact, he was coming through the city and all the women started singing, Saul killed his thousands. Can you imagine? They were writing songs about him. Yeah, here's Saul. Saul killed his thousands. And Saul refused to deal with his baggage. It gets a bit scary in a few minutes. Saul had victories but wouldn't deal with the baggage. He had anger issues. He tries to pin people to walls when they didn't do what he wanted. And whenever he had jealousy issues, jealousy baggage, he had blaming others baggage. You read it. You think this all is new to us? When he'd done something wrong, God would tell him, do this, do this, do that, and you will have victory. And he would do what he wanted to do because his baggage was screaming at him, you'll be in control. Who has control baggage today? Don't put up your hand. See the way I controlled that? When he was asked, what did you do that for? Because Samuel loved him and Samuel would come and bring direction and correction. But he would say, Samuel, it wasn't me, it was the men. One time he was told to go in and he was going to have victory over his enemy. But when he gets there, he's to slaughter everything, slaughter all the animals, everything. He was a king and he took on himself to sacrifice things to God that only a priest can do. And when Samuel the priest, the proper priest came in, he says, did you do everything the Lord told you? Yeah. Did you kill all the sheep? Yeah. And next you hear is, bah. You talk about them letting out on you. He says, I told you the man done that. He had violence issues and baggage. He had intimidation, unforgiveness baggage, insecurity baggage, causing upset to his family baggage. Unaddressed baggage will eventually weigh so heavy on you that it will splurt out into our families. We'll see in a few minutes that fear and intimidation became the culture of a whole kingdom, a whole army. I want rid of my baggage. I'll tell you why. I don't want my kids carrying my baggage. I don't want their children carrying my baggage. And God is, listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are carrying heavy stuff, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my yoke is light. He wants to do an exchange. He doesn't just point out, you have baggage. Yeah, we all have baggage. He wants to give us a way out of our baggage. He wants to give us some way that we move beyond the weight of our baggage. And he says, come to him. Not come to church, which is good. Not come to counselors, which is good. Not come to anything you can name in this world, which are doing their best. But Jesus says, here, come here, give it to me. What do? When you have a call, but you carry baggage. Fast forward. This is the scary bit for me, I don't know about you. But God was dealing with Saul and his baggage tenderly, constantly, insistently. Samuel will go to him. Saul, what are you doing? Tell you where Saul's baggage brought him. To consult a medium, which God forbids. And the king went to the medium. Your baggage will take you where? To places you don't want to go. Do things you don't want to do. Say things you don't want to say. Things that we'd say we'll never go to were there. I'll never be tripped up by that. We're on our face. That's why the Bible tells us not to judge anyone. Lest that's you. Don't judge anyone with baggage. Because when we do it, we're confessing we're blind to our own baggage. Fast forward, here's the scary bit. The Lord says to Samuel, I have to finish with Saul. Not finish with loving him. Not finish with his compassion towards him. But the plan has to move on. Because there's other people on the end of that plan. There's a king called Jesus that's to come down the road. And I can't, I reach out, I'm compassionate, I'm slow to anger, I'm abounding in love. But if you consistently refuse to deal with the baggage, God says he has to move on. The plan has to move. The plan won't be held up by any man or woman. God has a plan for our city, our nation. And he's like, no, if you don't want it, I'm going to have to find someone else that wants a son. So stop sitting with your baggage. Stop hiding in it. I keep saying, I was down in Cork last week. I was speaking in Nick Cassidy's church for those who know Nick, Donnybrook Pentecostal. And my opening statement was this. I haven't spoke there in 10 years. So most of the people have them known, they probably even know me. I says this, it takes a brave person to walk with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've met strong men and women in my life. I've met hard men. I've met men that have put you down in an instant. I've met men that have done crazy things. I'm telling you, the bravest men and women I know walk with Jesus. Because this ain't for no wimps. I'm telling you, you know what the big hard men do? They run to the baggage. You go, yeah, I'm hard here, and at home I'm afraid. Run to the fear baggage, the anger baggage. It takes somebody that is born of God to stand before God and say, here I am, baggage and all. I'm telling you, that's brave. That's Lord. What about the little Gucci bag now? Oh, yeah. The little makeup bag that you put on to make sure you have a happy face so that no one knows you have baggage. Right. When I tell you, I know you see my baggage and I want to tell you something, I see your baggage. And if you show me yours, I'll show you mine. It takes someone brave and honest before God and say, Lord, here I am, search me and know me. See if there's any baggage in me and lead me in the way out of that baggage. It takes bravery, it takes honesty, it takes integrity to stand before him and say, Lord, I can't get out of this. I'm sick of hiding it. I'm sick of putting it away. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of carrying this. But what do you do when you have it? Fast forward, Saul said, Saul, I'm sorry, son. Can't deal with you. I have to move on. So I'm going to pick another king. The second king was called David. David was the eighth son of a man called Jesse. In the Bible, 7 is a complete number. So Samuel the prophet goes to the house of Jesse and he says, God is going to do something here. I'm paraphrasing. Obviously, God's going to do something here. And have you got any sons? Because he knew the son, the king was in there. And all the sons, 7 passed by him. And God says, no, it's none of them. He says, have you got another son? He goes, well, there's David. Nearly like, it sounds like an afterthought. Sounds like, well, David is out there minding the sheep. It's like, he's the eighth. If 7 is complete, well, then 8 is not a number that, you know what I mean? Maybe it's the odd one out. But that's only if you think in air terms. See, 7 is the complete number, but David wasn't in number 8. He was a new number 1. Meaning that God is starting a new cycle. God is doing a new thing. So like the 7, the completion of the 7 there. But now God says, I'm doing something new. Behold, there has to be someone else. Yet there's David. There's David, the new thing. 7 completion, but 8 is the new thing. And this is 7. What's this? 2018, 2017. 7 completion is done. A cycle in God is done, number 7. But God's saying, now I'm doing a new thing. And he's going to do a new thing in our lives. He wants this year to be a year where we're not carrying the baggage of yesteryear and the last 7 years in our lives. That he wants to do something new, but we have to let them go. And he'll do the rest. Maybe this is 2018. How do we get rid of baggage? Listen, David, the son of an Ephraimite. This is chapter 17 now. Sorry, verse 12. I'm going to come up on the screen. An Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advancing years, and the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul into battle. And the names of the three sons who went into battle was Eliab, the firstborn. The next to him was David. To him was Abinadab, and the third Shammah. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, Samuel had brought men and anointed him with oil and said that this is the next king. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, a Philistine, this is Goliath, a giant, came forward and took a stand morning and evening. Does that sound like baggage? And Jesse said to David, his son, take your brother an ephod of parched grain and 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. And take 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. And David, verse 18, David left the things in charge with the keeper of the baggage and ran to the front line and went to greet his brothers. What do we do with baggage? What did David do with his baggage? He left the baggage with the baggage keeper. He carried this weighty things, grain and bread, up to the baggage keeper and says, baggage keeper, here you go. And he left the baggage with the baggage keeper. How do we get rid of baggage? We give it to the baggage keeper. We give it to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and you can find rest. In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. The Greek word that is used for the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15, it means this, that he says he's the porter. What does the porter do in the hotel? He takes your baggage. He's like, no, you don't have to carry that, sir. I will carry your baggage for you. There's an invitation in the scriptures to say, listen, come to me with your baggage. Give me your blame game. Give me your anger. Give me your brokenness. Give me your issues. And I will take them off of you. Leave them with the baggage keeper. Leave them with the porter so that the porter can open a new door into a new future that looks different than the past. Jesus says this, I have overcome the world. Sorry, 1 John says this. He says, Jesus overcome the world, and so shall you. He's overcome every baggage, and so shall you. Don't get me wrong. Baggage comes in all types and shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Jesus is sending the disciples out, Luke chapter 10. He says, don't take a purse, don't take sandals, and don't take the coat. The baggage of paying a mortgage. The baggage of worried about your children. The baggage of, he says, don't take a purse, meaning it's a normal thing. We need money. But he's saying, in the call I have for you, don't let that become baggage. I fulfill the call of God when I have enough money. You'll be sitting a long time. As he's saying, don't worry about that, I'll get to it. If you walk it out, we'll walk it out. What about direction, me shoes? I'm going to wait for direction, just start walking, he'll direct you. What about my covering, your coat? He will cover you. Psalm 140, verse 7, King David says to the Lord, in the day of battle, Lord, will you cover me? In the day of going after the baggage, in the day of confronting the baggage, will you cover my head for battle? God's heart for us. Very quickly, he talked about baggage. Talk about baggage. Jesus meets the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The woman had, she's talking and Jesus starts reading her mail. She says, you had 5 husbands, haven't you? Hello, talk about baggage, girls. 5 husbands. and plus you're living with a bloke. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jesus just reads the whole mail, like, you know. And I'm like, no matter which way this lion falls, whether all the men died, like, grief is a big baggage. Maybe they didn't treat her well. Maybe they were blackguards. Maybe they ran off with someone else. That's a baggage. And the fella she's living with, he doesn't consider her worthy even to marry her. It's all right sleeping with her. Having sex with her. You put a ring on it. If you like it, then you better put a ring on it. Sorry, songs just play in my head all the time. Come on, honey. Come on, I'm talking to you. Don't give it unless you put a ring on or these. Come on, you know what I'm saying? And man, have the guts. Don't let non-commitment baggage keep you out of a great relationship. A holy relationship, a sacred relationship. Don't let the baggage of yesterday rob us. You talk about having baggage, 5 husbands and one fella. And she meets Jesus. And Jesus is like talking to her and telling her what her life was like. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, she was looking for water, and Jesus says, I'll give you water, and you'll never thirst again. Now here's the beauty. She had 6 men in her life. Now she was meeting the 7th man. Completion. So he's saying, honey, you've had men, but you come to me, I'm going to meet the deepest longing needs of your life. You talk about acceptance and talk about love, that you've met the one who brings completeness. I'll deal with all the other baggage. Johnny's baggage, ow, Jesus is here. I'll deal with the broken. If your name is Johnny, sorry, Johnny. I said in Bray one day, the same thing. Johnny's baggage or something like that. And it's somebody's went, no, Billy. I said, and Billy's baggage, get out. And I didn't say baggage, whatever it was. And Billy stands up, a guy called Billy. Says, what's wrong with Billy now? The dreams are coming true. Jesus is stepping in. Are you with me? And some of us have dreams and they won't be fulfilled unless we let go of the baggage. So David comes in. He says, what's going on? There's a giant coming in. He says, give me someone to fight. Do you know what it says about Saul and all of his army? They were terrified of this man because they came under his back. Because he was terrified this way, so were they. The culture had been created in the army. Baggage creates culture. Do you remember it? Don't see Angie or Dad. That's culture of baggage. It becomes a culture. We pass on. David comes up. David was in the field and a bear and a lion came. And God covered his head in the day of battle, and he went after the bear and the lion because he were after his sheep. And he battered them. The bear and the lion, he battered them. So he comes down and they were like, you know, you can't go, you're only young. And David's like, let me at them. Let me at him. He said, the bear and the lion came and God came upon me, covered me in the day of battle, and I took out the bear and lion. And the same God that is with me taking out the bear and the lion is the same God that's going to be with me taking out him. And they said, Saul the king said, put on my armor. You don't want your armor. Keep your baggage. I'll go out with God. And he runs to the battle lion. See, he left the baggage with the baggage keeper. And if we don't leave the baggage with the baggage keeper, we'll never run to the front line to take our place in the battle line. Because that'll trip us up. And he runs out. He leaves the baggage with the baggage keeper. Runs out. And he's like, and here's what Goliath the giant says. You send me a boy? You know what he was doing? Trying to tap in to the baggage of the others. But the baggage of the others wasn't on him. He was like, oh, my knee's sore, I can't help. He was like, I'll take you on. He's like, you see him, he says to David, I'm going to rip you apart and give your body to the carcass. Your carcass to the board, to the air. But the fear and intimidation wasn't landing on him because he hadn't got that baggage. God had him separated in the field. And you know the story. He took him on. Imagine the times when David was probably out in the fields. Maybe had a dream. I heard Lou Engel say recently, "Those dreams. Don't say it was just a dream. God has put stuff into your heart. True dreams. That was just a dream. No, it wasn't. God communicates with us through dreams. And if you've got a dream, you end in God's stream. If you've God's dream, you come into God's stream. And you become part of God's dream team. And then you can do the Martin Luther King. Then you can stand up and say, I have a dream. And you may say that I'm a dreamer. But I want to tell you, I'm not the only one. There's other dreamers in this place. Can you imagine David minding the sheep? And he's dreaming, one day I'm going to walk with Saul in the army. I'm going to serve Saul. I'm going to fight with Saul. And then in the dream, he has a dream that he actually becomes the next king of Israel. Imagine the dreams that God was putting in him, and that he would set a worship session that started in for 33 years. David started a worship meeting 24/7 for 33 years. Imagine him dreaming all of this. No wonder he left the baggage with the baggage. So I'm asking us today. You may have done this 100 times. I don't get it. God has put this word in my heart. And I preached this in Bray. And I preached it last week, I think it was, in Kildare, the week before. And the testimony's back. Here's a great one. I just have to tell you this one. He's come back to people sending to Patrice or Ralph and Bray or send to Stephen and Claire or whatever. A girl that's back in church after being missing for a couple of years. She came back with addiction. And she said in the text, the only thing over my life is this threat to my life. She said, when your dad preached and he called us forward to give the baggage, I gave Jesus 150%. You know, like she was like, I gave me all. She says, Jesus, if you ask me to do anything, I will obey you. She says, Patrice, the three threats of my life is I own three drug dealers. And we know what they do to get money when they don't care. Terrified of getting a face slashed or a house broken, kicked in. And three of them. She says, I don't believe it. This is the same text. I don't believe it. I read about these things happening to other people, but never thought what happened to me. One drug dealer rang her and says, by the way, that debt is cancelled. The second fellow, catch this one. This is like the ESB. I'll do a payment plan with you. I'm like, ah, come on. What has he got, a direct debit account? You just... And the third fella got locked up and he can't get out. He's in custody and be getting sentenced. And she writes, I gave my baggage to Jesus. That was the biggest number of baggage she was carrying. And Jesus took care of me because she gave it to him. Jesus, I'm not walking out here with my baggage today. I don't care if it's mommy baggage, daddy baggage, husband baggage, teacher's baggage, or my baggage. I don't care. And here's the difference with David. When David, because David accumulated his own baggage after this, by the way. But every time he was made aware of it, he put his baggage to God. Sometimes he ripped off his clothes in the temple. How did I do that? Why did I create that baggage? The difference with him and Saul, he was honest before God. The baggage, I've made baggage, and my sons and daughters are paying for that baggage, and he didn't run away from it. He didn't go back to hiding the baggage. He says, here it is, Lord. And that's why God's testimony about David is this, that David was a man after my heart. I want God to share my testimony to you. That's that. The worship team wants to come back. Not once, will he come back? So we're going to do something this morning. If you're visiting with us, praise the Lord. You don't have to go over here with any baggage. Maybe you're carrying the full weight of everything you've ever done wrong because we do that. You don't have to live in that baggage anymore. Jesus says he will take all that on. He's already taken her on. You just have to let her go. Jesus, I'll give you my life. Like that girl. Like the girl. Jesus, I'll give you 150%. She was trying to say, I'll give you everything. Your worries, your pains, your aches, your past, your present. God wants to launch us into the future. You will love again. Imagine the lady at the well with Jesus, I'll never love again. That man is just a convenience for me right now. I can't give my heart again.
Jesus takes that baggage. You will live again. You will open your heart up again. This is a word for somebody. This is a word for somebody. You will open your heart up again. Yeah, there's a risk of being hurt again, of course. But you will live again. So this is what I've asked in the three locations I'm going to ask of you. Because we all carry baggage. I preached this in Cork last week when I was preaching. Gavin Caston says, when we're given the altar call, which is what we're going to do, we'll call us all to the altar. He says, I could hear, you know, like in the hotel, or not the hotels, in the airports, the conveyor belt. You know, when the baggage is on it, it kicks off. That's it. Put it on. Jesus is on the other end, taking it off. Mom, and I'll give you rest, and I'll give you my yoke that is easy. So guys, just come forward. I'm not going to drag this out. Come carrying your baggage. Come right up to the front, carrying your baggage. And we're going to all let it drop together. We're all going to drop it down. It's going to be the loudest noise in the heavenly places. That, like, the devil can't attach himself to that piece of baggage anymore. He won't torment you with it anymore. Look at that in your life. Look, yeah, it is in my life, and I'm giving it to Jesus. And up in the heavenly places, in that spiritual realm, we drop them in faith. It sets off an earthquake. You can hear the enemy, like, no! No! I had that on him for years. I beat him down with that every night and day like Goliath coming out. Every time the enemy, can you imagine him gloating over us? Jesus is going to take that boast out of his voice today. He's going to take it out. Come on. Come to the hidden guilty bags. It's time to know. Say, Jesus, come on. These are all matching suitcases. There they are, Lord. There they are. Husbands, drop them. I don't mean get rid of them. I mean, you know, drop the baggage. Wives, grief, pain, lack, injustice, nightmares. 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 Drop the nightmares. It's time to let grief gently down. Let the grief gently down. They're precious to you. But you can't carry them anymore. Disappointments. Disappointment in church. Disappointment with leadership. Disappointment with God. Come on, we let that baggage down today. Lord, I give it all to you. Trusting that you're going to make something beautiful in our lives today, Lord. So could we just, if you can, and just go with me. You just lift your baggage up to your waist, knowing, like, just like you're holding two bags. You name them. You name them. Jesus, will you even right now, by the power of your Spirit, go to those places that we can't even think of right now, but you can. And say, yeah, drop that. Drop this. Put that label on that bag while I drop it. Stuff that's come down from generations, put that label on it. Unforgiveness, put that label on it. Not carrying that baggage anymore. Receive unforgiveness, put that on it. Becoming born again, put that on it. Brand new, inside out. Born of the Spirit of God. Yeah, Lord, I put my sin on it. That's it, Lord. Not carrying that anymore. Jesus took it.